Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, when we come into the presence of God, if you have a need, the Bible says that we will find him the day we seek him with all of our hearts. When we seek him with all of our hearts, he is there to minister to us, to meet our needs, and I'm grateful for that. I appreciate being in the house of God today. I'm glad all of you are here. God bless you. And we're privileged today to have one of my grandsons, the middle Parky boy, Zane, with us in the house of the Lord today. Zachary has spoken for us before. And Zane's coming this morning to bring us the word of the Lord, and I'm proud of him. He's going into his last year of college at Urshan's College in St. Louis, Missouri. And I know he'll be a blessing, and it's good to have his friend Brandon also with us. All the rest of you, God bless you. I'm so glad you're in the house of the Lord today. Zane, take your liberty. God bless you. Welcome home.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to allow you guys to be seated. It's good to be here today in the house of the Lord. I love the worship that I felt and the spirit that I felt. I would apologize to some of you for how we act, but I'm not sorry. So, the Bible says in Genesis 2 and 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." We serve an awesome God today, amen. In that verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." He formed man out of nothing. He brought something that was seemingly insignificant, and he made it into something supernatural. And that speaks volumes of the God that we serve, in that he created us out of nothing. And he's showing us in this verse that he said, I can take absolutely nothing and I can make it into something amazing. So today I wonder if somebody right now would just lift your hands. Before we start any service, before we start any preaching, I wonder if you could just ask God, say, God, today in something, I want you to do something amazing in me, God. Maybe you've come here today with a need. Maybe you've come here today with a struggle. Maybe you've come here today needing something from the Lord, and he's going to give it to you today. If you believe in him, if you have faith in him, he's going to give it to you today. I wonder if you could all lift your hands and one last praise and one last triumph, saying, God, I know the victory's already won, God, because you are the true one. You are him, God. You are. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I wonder if you could give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's good to have my beautiful girlfriend with me today, all the way from Portland, Oregon. And my childhood best friend, Emmanuel, and his fiance, Brogan. It's great to have them. Give them a hand clap of praise. Love that guy. Today, my passage of scripture is out of Exodus 17. And I'm just excited today. This is where I grew up. This is my home church, so don't mind me if I take my liberty. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Later in that same chapter, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth." So it says, in the beginning was that Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, it says, this was the Word was there, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So later, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." That Word, that God that came and dwelt among us, that's Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that today. Exodus 17, verse number 9 says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is my banner. In this passage of scripture today, we see the Amalekites come against the people of God, and they're in the middle of this battle, and this Old Testament story tells us about the battle between Joshua and Amalek. And the Amalekites had come up against the Israelites at Rephidim, which literally translates resting place. Exodus 17 tells us that Israel's caregiver Moses said to Joshua, choose out some of the men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. As Joshua fought the Amalekites in the valley of Rephidim, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill with Moses. And Moses is sitting up there, and God's given him a word. And in this word, he says, go and lift your hands. And he said, as long as your hands are up, he said, you're going to prevail. So Moses stands on this word, and he goes to the top of the mountain, and he lifts his hands. And his hands are up, and all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and he's watching the battle. He's watching what's going on down there, and he's not really paying attention. And slowly but surely, his hands start going down. And the Bible says that as soon as that happened, they begin to lose the battle. So the Amalekites prevailed. And when Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur took a stone and they put it underneath him. And they held up Moses' hands so that the Israelites would prevail. How many of you have ever been in a struggle? I've been in a struggle before, I can be honest. Mark chapter 4 tells us about the disciples that are in the midst of a storm. And these disciples are sitting in this storm, and it starts getting worse and worse and worse. And they're sitting here, and they're looking around while Jesus is sitting, and he's asleep. And they're looking around saying, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't want to wake up Jesus. So they sit there, and they wait it out for a little while. And they're sitting there, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And all of a sudden, the boat starts rocking back and forth. The boat starts going from place to place. And they say, oh, my goodness, we're not going to make it if we don't do something. And all of a sudden, they're sitting here, and they say, you know what? We've got Jesus on board. Maybe we should talk to him. You'd think, right? So they go. And they wake up Jesus. Say, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. There's a storm. And Jesus wakes up and he's mad because he was sleeping really good. And he wakes up and he comes out and he's looking and he feels the boat rocking and he sees the rain and he feels the storm. He feels the wind on his face and he grabs something because it is rocking. And he says, peace, be still. And all of a sudden, the disciples look out, and the dark storm clouds that had been above them all of a sudden start to dissipate. All of a sudden, they start to go away, and they're sitting in the midst of a storm, but all of a sudden, this peace be still seemingly calms their storm. In the very next chapter, we find the disciples coming to the shore, and Jesus is awake at this point, and he comes, and he's on his way to the shore, and the Bible says that they're coming to the other side. And as soon as they reach the shore, there's a demon-possessed person that runs to Jesus. And it says that this person, they had tried to chain him down with chains, and he would break the things that they tried to hold him with. And there was nothing that the people could do by themselves to contain this man that was demon-possessed. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there and he's talking and he's saying, Jesus, I know that you can save me. But it never talks about how he knew what Jesus could do. It never talks about the moment that he had saying, I know that Jesus can be my Savior. It never talks about what he knew and his insight on why Jesus could save him from the situation that he was in. So he's sitting there and he's running and he sees Jesus and he recognizes him and he knows, I know you can give me my miracle. So it says they crossed over to the other side, and they crossed over onto the land, and he recognized him. But maybe in chapter 4, this same man was sitting on that shore side, on the other side of the lake, and he's watching. And maybe he's sitting there, and it says that he had cut himself multiple times because there was something inside of him that was not right. And he's sitting here, and he's struggling with everything that he is because there's something that he cannot contain without Jesus. And he's sitting here, and all of a sudden, he starts to feel some wind. All of a sudden, he starts to feel a storm. All of a sudden, he hears the thunder. All of a sudden, he sees the lightning, and there's wind. And he looks out, and he says, is that a boat out there? And he's watching, and he's seeing as this boat is rocking back and forth. And as he's sitting there, he stands up, and he says, that boat's not going to make it. He sees it rocking back and forth. And he's sitting there, and he's watching, and he's saying, somebody better help. They're not going to make it. And he's watching, and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, maybe he heard the words, peace be still. And he watches. He looks up and he sees everything disappear. The sun comes out. The sun comes out. And he's sitting there. And he's watching. And he's waiting for the boat to come in from the other side. And he begins to think about everything that he went through. He begins to think about the storm in his life. He begins to think about everything that he had been a part of, everything that he had allowed to come into his life, everything that he had been dealing with, everything that he had been struggling with. And he's sitting here and he's saying, if he can do that for them, he can do that for me. So he waits. He's anticipating their arrival, and he's sitting there, and maybe he's shaking because he's so anxious for this man to come. As he's watching, he just watched him calm a storm, and he's saying, if he can do it for them, he can do it for me. So he runs as the boat is coming in, and he meets them. Maybe he ran miles, maybe he ran a long distance, because he knew that if he could just get to the shore where Jesus was, that he was going to heal him. And it was because he was watching someone else's storm that he got his miracle. So there's many times in our lives, there's many times in our storms that we'll come to a place where we're discouraged. There's many times where we'll come to a place where we say, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. God, I don't know if I can handle this pain. And bad things happen to good people. It's just reality. We're not subject from the world. We're not subject from the things of this world. God gave us free will. There's many things that just happen. But there's many times in life where things sting. There's many times in life where things hurt, and there's circumstances that are out of our control, and we come to God and we say, God, if you are the true God, if you are the true comforter, God, why am I feeling this way? God, why am I in this situation? God, why am I put in this place? Why have I been brought to this point? God, why am I here? After all of these years of serving you, after all that I've done, God, why have I come to this point? Why have I come to this point, God? I'm tired. I've dealt with it enough, God. I'm just ready. I'm just ready for some glory. I'm just ready for a blessing. But God, why does this have to happen to me? And many times, we can pray contradictory prayers. We can say, God, I want the blessing. God, I want you to help me get through this storm. God, I want you to send me the blessings. I want you to, God, put an anointing on me. And what we don't realize sometimes is that God has to put us through things to get us through things. So when God sends you a storm, when God sends you something, a lot of the time, he's preparing you for something else. He's preparing you for something more. He's preparing you for something greater. But a lot of the times, he's not preparing you, but he's preparing someone else. This demoniac was watching. He was watching someone else's storm, and he was seeing everything that was going on, but it wasn't his storm. He had already been through it, but he was watching someone else's storm. He was watching what someone else is going through. He was watching everything that was happening, and it wasn't his storm anymore, but he was watching someone else's, and he was saying, if they can get through it, I know that I can make it through it. And if I had to make up my mind today and say that, God, I'm going to get through my storm because there's people that are watching you. Every single person this room has influence. And there's people that are depending on you to get through your walk with God so that they can get through theirs. There's many people that watch you. There's many people in the youth that look up to you. There's many people here that are struggling with something. There's many people here that are debating whether they should follow God anymore or not. But there's people that are watching you. Parents, you have children that are watching you. You have children that are watching everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you go to. They're watching you. And they're saying, if that's my example for a godly person, shouldn't I be allowed to do this? If that's my example for a godly person, should those be the places that I should go? In the story, we find Moses at the top of the mountain. We find Moses preparing for this battle. And God told him, if your hands will stay up, my blessings will come down. So there's many times in life, like I said, we get discouraged. There's many times in life where we can put aside God's will for our own. We can look into our own ambition. We can look into our own pleasures. We can look into money. We can look into greed. We can look into all of the things of this world. But in the end, we find that it always ends up in the same place. Away from God. And we find ourselves looking for more. We find ourselves searching for something greater. In Acts chapter 16, it talks about Paul and Silas sitting in a prison cell. And they get captured and they're sitting here in this prison cell with many other people. And you know what? They just decide, you know, we're just going to sit here and we're going to praise. They said, we're going to do our little jig, like, I don't know, maybe they did a little dance. So they decide, they make up in their mind that my circumstance is not going to be what withholds my praise. And a lot of the time, our praise is what determines our miracle. And I heard recently a quote. It said, praise is what gains your ground, and prayer is what keeps it. So a lot of the times, we're very good at coming to church, and we're very good at coming to the front, and we're good at having good church. And we can come to a place and we're saying, God, I worship you. God, you're amazing. God, you're wonderful. God, I worship you for everything that you are. I know what you've done for me. God, it's awesome. And it's easy to do it in front of people, but behind closed doors, you're struggling with things that nobody knows about. Behind closed doors, there's things and there's circumstances that are out of your control, but you're only willing to praise him. So you can gain the ground, but you can't keep it. So you go through this process over and over and over again. And Paul and Silas are sitting here, and they decide, I'm done with the process. We've been through persecution. We've been through things that are out of our control. But every time, it always seems like God prevails, because he does. And they made up in their mind. They said, God, if you've done it for me before, I know that you'll do it again. So they're sitting in this prison cell, not knowing if they're going to be able to live, not knowing if they're going to make it out. But they say, God, if you never do anything for us again, if you never perform another miracle, if you never give us another blessing, God, we know that you've done it for us before, and we worship you today for who you are. And they're sitting here, and they're singing, maybe, breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. Maybe they're singing a song. And all of a sudden, as they're sitting here and they're praising, this Philippian jailer is watching them and is thinking, what in the world are these people doing? What in the world are these people praising for? Don't they know where they are? Don't they know that they're going to get killed? Don't they know that at the end of this, they are not going to be the winners? Why are they sitting here and they're praising? And all of a sudden, an earthquake comes and the gates begin to shake. And all of a sudden, the prison shell begins to come undone. And all of a sudden, every single prison cell opens wide open. And the Philippian jailer looks around and saying, oh my goodness, what is going on? And they go out and they look around and everyone's running everywhere. And the Philippian jailer is sitting here and he grabs his sword to kill himself. And he grabs his sword out and And Paul says, wait. Wait. And he says, what? He says, I'm going to die anyways. He said, all these people have just escaped out of my prison. He said, this was my, he said, you had one job. And he said, I couldn't even do it. And he says, this is it for me. And he remembers what they were doing whenever they were down. He remembers what they were doing when they were in prison. He remembers what was happening to them whenever they were in their storm. And he looks down and he thinks about everything that just transpired. He looks up at them and says, what do I need to do to be saved? And the response is, you must first believe in Jesus Christ. So many times in life, it's not our storm. It is ours, but it's not for us. So we ask God, why do bad things happen to good people? Many times it's not for you. And a lot of the times we get selfish and we think, God, like I'm looking for pleasure. I'm looking for the things that make me feel good. But we don't worry about what makes others feel good. And in life, there's going to be things that happen to us. And there's going to be things that come over us. And we have to realize that the storm is from the Lord. And we give a lot of credit to the devil sometimes for the things that happen to us. And bless God, the devil has been on my back. I got a paycheck that I didn't get yet. And we give a lot of power to someone who's pretty weak. And the devil has a little secret. And a lot of the time we think about him and, oh, this devil, he's been on my back and he's been doing all of these things and he's been coming against me. And we think about the supernatural and we think about how the weapons are supernatural and they're not in the natural. There's many things that we can do. We can pray, we can fast, we can do all of these things to fight in the supernatural. But we think about what in the world is his authority over us. And the reality is there's no authority. There's no authority from the devil. And his secret is that he's weak. And there's many times we get in fights with the devil. And in a boxing match, maybe he can last the first round. Maybe he can get us down. Maybe he can get us thinking that we're not worthy of what God has for us. Maybe he can get us thinking that we're not worthy of everything that he's done for us already. Maybe he can get us to a point where we say, you should just kill yourself. Maybe he can get you to a point of discouragement that you're so discouraged that you'll say, I'll never walk back to God. But his secret is that he's weak. And in this round, maybe the devil can last one. Maybe the devil can last two rounds. But the truth is that the devil cannot hold the fight. The truth is that the devil has no endurance. The truth is that if you can resist the devil, the Bible says that he will flee. So whenever he comes against you, whenever he comes against your family, whenever he sends you a storm, when it is him, all you have to do is resist the devil. And that is the key. That is the key. We are the model for the book of Acts, the New Testament church. We are the model. We should have church just like them. Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's a power that comes from living in truth. There's a power that comes whenever you realize that what's inside of me is more important, it's more powerful than anything that's outside in the world. The Bible says that the Lord has given us the opportunity to become the sons of God, to have the power that he has. He has given us the power to work in the gifts of the Spirit. They are not dead. They are for today. He has given us the power to live in righteousness. He has given us the power to be a part of miracles. And it's not any of our doing. It's not anything that we do, but it's of him. I was in a service when I was in Bible college and this preacher began to talk about a dream that he had. And he woke up in the middle of the night and had this dream. And in his dream, he was in this room. And in this room, there was absolutely nothing except for a ladder, the ceiling, and a small hole in the ceiling where the ladder was going up to. And he said he began to look around and he began to step on this ladder and he began to take steps. And he would get to the next point and he would get up to the next level and it was hard to pull up this ladder. And he would continue this process. And some of the rooms were bigger and some of the rooms were smaller. And eventually he got to the bottom and he looked out at this building and it was never ending to the top. And he said as he woke up, God revealed to him. He said, prayer is what gets you up the ladder. He says, and the different ladders are different spiritual levels. And he says, every morning that you get up, every day that you get up and you consecrate yourself, every day that you decide that this is worth more than anything in this world, he said, you're taking a step on the ladder. He says, you're taking a step on the ladder. Every day that you get up, you're taking another step on the ladder. And there's different dimensions to your praise. There's different dimensions to your prayer. And the moments that it's hard, the moments that you feel like you can't do it anymore, the moments that you feel like you're too tired, the moments that you feel like you haven't done enough, the moments that you feel like you're not worthy, that's the moment that you're pulling the ladder up to the next level. And it's always the hardest to pull the ladder up to the next level because what you're going to experience at the next level is what's going to bring you through your circumstance. And a lot of the time we can stay at a level because we get discouraged. But the word for the church today is don't get discouraged. Lift your hands in praise. Lift your hands because there's a God who's worthy of everything that we are. There's a God who's worthy of everything, of every praise, of every worship, of every cry, of every groan. There's a God today that's going to bring you through your circumstance. There's a God today that's going to bring you through everything that you are. There's a God today that's going to bring you through every attack of the enemy. There's a God today that's going to bring you through your storm. In Jesus' name, why do we lift our hands? The first thing is praise. The first thing we lift our hands for is praise. Psalms 134 and 2 says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Thank him for what he's brought you through. The second thing is in prayer. Psalms 141 and 2 says, may prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. When you lift your hands, you're saying, God, I sacrifice everything that I am. God, I sacrifice every ambition, every goal that I had. God, I give it to you today because you're worthy of my prayer. You're worthy of my praise. And the last thing that we do is we lift our hands and surrender. I wonder if we could all stand today. Lifting our hands is a universal sign of surrender. When we come to God in worship, lifting our hands, it's a physical demonstration of God, I surrender to you. Lifting up our hands is a cry for help. Like a man drowning in water, we lift our hands up to be saved. My decree to you today is to lift your hands in prayer, in worship, and in surrender. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we worship you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we worship you today, God. We surrender our lives to you today, God. Lord, we lift our hands, God. We lift our hands to you today. We lift our hands to you today. On one last note, there's a poem that a man by the name of Donald McCool wrote called Indian Joe. It says, in the foothills of North Dakota, just outside of town, a preacher was sick and he put up a tent. He threw sawdust on the ground. He laid some boards upon some blocks and those were to be his pews. And from the bottom of a barrel turned upside down, that's where he would deliver the news. Now the very first night, the crowd was rather small, just one old Indian by the name of Joe, and he stayed to hear it all. The preacher preached for a solid hour, but what intrigued Joe the most was the place where he read from the book of Acts about tongues and the Holy Ghost. And when the preacher finished, Joe came forward with a beautiful knife in sheath, and he said, God, if you give Joe Holy Ghost, he give you all this to keep. Well, needless to say, nothing happened, and Joe went away with a frown. And the very next evening, in front of 36 people, Old Indian Joe came right back down. And this time he brought a handmade blanket, a tomahawk, a bow and arrow, and a beautiful knife and sheath. And he said, God, if you give Joe Holy Ghost, he give you all this to keep. Well, needless to say, nothing happened, and Joe packed up all of his goods. They heard him mumbling, Joe trying, this ain't fair, as he disappeared into the woods. The next night, the camp was filled all to its capacity, all to the preacher's delight. But what they didn't know was that, what the preacher didn't know was that they came to see Joe and to see if the price was right. And riding through the middle of that tent came a pinto pony with a handmade blanket, a tomahawk, a bow and arrow, a pipe, and a beautiful knife and sheath. And he said, God, if you give Joe Holy Ghost, he give you all this to keep. Well, needless to say, nothing happened, and Joe began to nod. Then tears began to run down his leather face as he raised his hands to God. He said, Joe always been a very good trader. Now Joe's hair is white like snow. But God, if you give Joe Holy Ghost, Joe will give you Joe. Well, needless to say, the Holy Ghost came and Joe was quickly filled. God let him keep the pinto pony, the tomahawk, the bow and arrow, and the beautiful knife and sheath, and the blanket to keep out the chill. But Joe didn't want the stinky old pipe, and neither did Joe. So Joe threw the pipe as far as he could throw. And the people of the foothills of North Dakota will never forget the trip between God and Joe. God's calling someone today to an altar. God's calling someone today to say, God, I'm going to lift my hands. I know that you have something more for me today. These altars are open. I wonder if someone could come today and say, God, I'm giving you everything that I am. God, I know that I've been through the fire. I know that I've been through the flame, but Lord, you have something greater in store for me. And God, I don't know why you put me through this. God, I don't know why I'm going through the things that I'm going through, but today I'm going to make a statement. God, I'm going to stomp on the devil's head today and say, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay true to your word. I'm going to stay true to your promise. God, I'm worshiping you today in spirit and in truth. I wonder if someone today could do it. Make that covenant. Make that dream come true. He wants you today. He wants you today. He wants you today.
Everything I give to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Come on, there's a call from the Lord. He's wooing you with his presence. Would you forget about that person next to you, beside you, and would you just raise your hands and connect with him? And from the depths of your soul, would you say, God, I'm giving it to you today. I just want to draw close to you, God. I haven't been what I needed to be, but God, today on a Sunday morning, I want to draw close to you. I want to make a new, fresh commitment. I choose you. I choose you in my home. I choose you in my family. Come on, you feel that today? That's the Lord right now. He wants you to know you're not alone. You don't have to face this alone. But he showed up for you today. Would you make that commitment, God? I'm putting you first. Putting you back in my life. I can't make it without you, God. I've tried, I failed. But God, today, I give you all. I give you all to me. Oh, lift your voice.
I give you all.
through the Holy Ghost in this place.
I give you all of me.
I love you, Jesus.
I give you
all of me. Yes, God.
I give yes, God. You all of
a hunger for you.
I give
a hunger
you
for you.
All of me.
As a deer pants after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee, O God.
All of me.
I'm hungry for you.
I
I'm thirsty
you
for you.
All of me.
Hallelujah.
I give you all.
Sharayanda Yakoras.
I give you.
Oh, I bless you today. I bless you today.
I give you all of me.
Oh, I feel him moving.
I
feel him working in this house. Lay a hand on somebody.
I give you all.
Connect with one another.
I
minister one to another.
All of me.
Let's get this together.
I give you all of me.
Let's make this commitment together.
I give you all of me.
We're going to turn some things around.
I give you all.
We're going to change some things in our home.
I give you all of me.
Hallelujah.
All of me.
Sharayandayako.
I give you all of me.
Shatarasso.
I give you all of me.
I love you today.
I give you all of
I worship you. I worship you.
King Jesus, my Savior.
Hallelujah.
Forever. I give you all of
oh,
me.
Oh, I bless you. I bless you.
I give you all of
I worship you, God.
Hallelujah. King Jesus,
hallelujah.
My Savior. Forever. Yeah.
Come on, he's doing a work right now.
I give you all of me.
He's doing a special work right now.
I give you all of me.
Hallelujah.
King Jesus,
I choose you, God.
My Savior.
I choose
forever.
You, God.
I give you all of me.
All I have.
I give you all
of me. All I have, I give it to you.
King
hallelujah.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
My Savior. Forever,
oh,
I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Yes, I do, God.
I give you all of me.
Yes, I do, God.
I give you all of me.
Hallelujah.
I give you all of me.
Hallelujah.
I give you all of me.
Oh, I love you.
I give you all of me.
That's the love of God that you feel in this house. That's his love and his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you.